A responsible, upright man is a blessing in home, church, and society. Our unbelieving society is at a loss for such men. Many men never choose a life of responsibility, but instead choose that of selfishness and irresponsibility. They boast in their drunkenness and unproductive life. Even if they do marry, they let their wives run the family while they indulge in their sports and drinking. This is not true of the man who fears God. He does not follow after the godless example of the unbelieving man, but rather chooses to walk responsibly in the ways of God. This is true of him already in childhood and youth, and it is especially true of him when he matures and takes his place in family and church. He is repelled by the wicked ways of the unrighteous man. Last couple of broadcasts we devoted to the upright man's relationship with his wife. Today we turn to the relationship a father must establish with his children in the home. Again, we are dealing in the main with the relationship that a father must establish with his children in the home. Some time ago we addressed the relationship of a virtuous woman and mother that she establishes with her children. Today, however, we focus our attention on the father in relation to his children. And we do so from the point of view of Solomon's word to us in Proverbs 23, verses 24 through 26, which reads, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Now this passage strikes at the very core of what every believing father must seek to establish with his children. And although Solomon addresses his son here, making this passage very personal, nevertheless it needs to be applied more broadly to include the daughter as well as the son. Every father must seek to win the hearts of his children in order that he can turn their hearts to the Lord. That is the key to Christian pedagogy, child rearing. A father must say to every child God is pleased to give him, "Give me your heart." The salvation of our children is not something that drops automatically from heaven simply because they are born to believing parents. Salvation does not belong to them because it is their right being born into the sphere of the church. Salvation is always and ever a work of God's grace, sovereign, free grace. He chooses whom he wills, and these God saves. At the same time, believing parents are given the promise of God's covenant, that God will save in the line of their generations. God is pleased to do this, however, in those families where father, and mother of course, diligently labor to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. It is not as if our labor as fathers saves our children, but God uses the means of godly fathers who are willing to nurture their children carefully to save in the line of generations. This is done when a father touches the hearts of his children with his life in the home. That, of course, is how a believing father addresses his son in the verse before us in Proverbs, "My son, give me thy heart." That must be the prime desire of a godly father in his relationship with his children. He must desire their hearts. But we need to understand what this means. It does not mean, "My son, give me your outward behavior." This is how much parenting is performed, I'm afraid. And it is easy to fall into this way of thinking, too. A father can insist that his children follow all the right actions that make them look good on the outside. Here's what you must do, children, in order to be a good Christian. You must go to church. You must attend catechism. You need to marry a person from the church. You must memorize and defend these certain doctrines of the church. Now, do not misunderstand my point here. I'm not saying these things are wrong, and we ought not to insist on godly living. We certainly should. We need to teach our children good behavior and good godly habits. We need to teach them the truths of the Word of God. But we as father must not merely be interested in outward behavior, a going through the proper motions of one's faith. When fathers only do this with their children, one of two things will happen. Either the child will rebel against his or her parents when they come of age. He will say, "All you were interested in was outward appearances. You only wanted me to look clean on the outside so that people would not judge you as being a bad father. You didn't really care about me. You only cared about what other people think of you." It will either be that reaction, or it will be the opposite, that our children are mere robots going through the outward actions of faith without truly believing. They will be little replicas of father and mother, but without the faith of father and mother. The church will become a social club where everyone follows the rules to be a part of it. Our children will grow up to have good morals, but with no real conviction of faith. They will say the right things. They will follow the right mode of operation in the church, but with no real knowledge of sin and of their salvation in Jesus Christ. And then eventually the structure of the church will slowly break down, and the church itself will begin to crumple. Children will start living like the world, with a false sense of assurance that they are saved anyway. Solomon, as a father, does not say to his son, "My son, give me your behavior." He says rather, "My son, give me your heart." Yes, the heart. There is such a horrible misconception of what the heart is in the church of today. The heart is often made synonymous with feelings. Follow your heart means follow your feelings. What makes you feel good at the moment, go with it. But that's not the scriptural idea of a person's heart. The heart is the very spiritual core of a man's soul. Solomon writes in Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As the heart goes, so does one's thoughts and desires." If the heart is filled with sin and wickedness, when there is no fear of God in the heart, then all of a person's thoughts, desires, and actions will follow in the way of that heart. Where a person's heart is spiritually, so will all the issues of life proceed. This is where fallen man's depravity is rooted, in his spiritual center, the heart. If the heart is depraved, so will that person's outward behavior be corrupt. But if that heart is where the Spirit of our risen Lord dwells, then that Spirit will direct the thoughts, desires, and actions of a man. A good heart spiritually will produce good thoughts, words, and deeds. And this is exactly why Solomon says to his children, "Give me your heart." If I can influence your heart in the right way, your outward behavior will follow. A father can teach his children the way of godly living, but godly living must be rooted in the hearts of our children. And that is why this passage of God's Word expresses the very core or essence of proper child rearing. An upright man must follow this principle. Give me the hearts of my children. But how does a father put this principle into practice? That's the all-telling question. Solomon explains, let thine eyes observe my ways. Or in other words, watch me and follow my example. We remember once again that this is the inspired word of God we consider today. Just as with the Song of Solomon we considered in our last broadcast, we need to be reminded of the fact that because of Solomon's great sin. He certainly was not the best of an example to his children. In fact, he was a downright lousy example. And certainly we would not want our children following after Solomon's example. But we must remember that the Proverbs contain the wisdom of God in raising children, and that includes the passage we have before us today. An upright man who fears God must be able to penetrate that barrier between himself and his children that society seeks to create. The world surges forward in its developments. This is true in its technology, first of all. When I was young, the transistor radio came out, and young people began to carry their music with them outside of the home, unsupervised by parents. Then there were the 8-track tape players and cassette tapes on which were recorded the music of pop culture. And that was just the beginning. It has gone from CDs to MP3s or live internet that can be carried in a person's pocket, a little instrument a young person can use to gain access to all the filth, all the hedonistic lifestyle available in the world. With that, the trends in entertainment change too. The television and movies have gone from family-orientated entertainment to sex and violence, the superhuman strength of men, and such fantasies as the age of dinosaurs or extraterrestrial intelligence. The philosophy from one generation to the next seems to change so rapidly, from rationalism to modernism to postmodernism to hedonism. How can godly parents keep up with all these fast-moving changes that overtake each new generation? Well, the way a father prevents a barrier between himself and his children is by saying, "My children, observe my ways." This very statement implies that a father opens up his own life, and yes, opens up his own heart to his children. While they are still young, he enters into their lives and becomes one with them. He shows them attention. He is interested in their lives. He talks with them, plays with them. He studies God's Word with them and discusses his own spiritual values and goals in life. He gives to his children his affection. He encourages them. In short, he involves himself in the lives of his children. His life is immersed in his wife and family. For the sake of his children, a father will be willing to set aside some of his own pursuits and passions in order to take time out to be with his children. When he lives so closely with his children, he will be able to say to them, "Observe my ways. This is how I, when I was young, dealt with the same problems or dilemmas you're confronting now. I had to deal with these kinds of pressures too when I was young. I had to come to a decision that was pleasing to God too in my use of technology and modern trends. Maybe my decisions were made in my use of a transistor radio, and you need to make decisions regarding your smartphone, but the decisions are the same. Observe me, how I have overcome the hazards of youth that will draw you away from God, and observe the way that I live now. I have matured. I'm your father, and I've learned a few things along the way." And children will be willing to follow father's example simply by observing the way he lives now. They will not say, "Oh, he does that because he is old," even though they might tease him about that. But because his children are his friends, and he has made a heart connection with them, they will observe and follow in his ways. The fruit of making this our prime desire as fathers is given us in verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. An upright father, when raising his children properly, will produce upright children. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. When father gains the hearts of his children and they observe his ways, then they become righteous. And that word righteous in our text here is an interesting term because it is usually used of a judge who maintains the right by dispensing justice. He makes right judgments. He is honest and fair. The idea when applied to our children is that they grow up and they make good judgments in life, God-fearing judgments, judgments that are in accordance with God's commandments and word. Further, it means that our children will be honest and fair in their dealings with others. Now, it is obvious that such righteousness is the fruit of the labors of righteous parents. The Hebrew term here does not point to the righteousness that we have before God on account of the work of our Savior. We well know that we are justified before God or made righteous before God, not on account of the way our parents teach us. We are justified in the blood of Christ alone. That's a given. We who were guilty before God of the sin of Adam and our own personal sins are declared righteous before God because Christ has suffered our punishment to deliver us from our guilt, and that our children walk righteously before God, that is, in the way of His commandments, is indeed entirely an act of God's grace, too. The father can do everything right. He can give of himself to his children, but if God has not chosen a particular child to be his own, if God has sovereignly rejected that child in eternity, then no matter what amount of labor is bestowed on that child, he will not be righteous, but rebellious. Let's not forget God's decree of sovereign election and reprobation cuts through the heart of the church, too. Salvation of our children takes a work of God's grace in their hearts. But God does use means. If a father thinks his children will turn out to be righteous despite the way that he lives or the bad example he leaves, he will be sadly mistaken. God still saves by his grace, sometimes despite the neglect of father. But God uses the means of an upright father to nurture the seed of the covenant. God will not continue to save in the generations of those parents who neglect their serious calling before God. God will not continue to gather his church among families whose children are only taught to look good on the outside without a thought of what they look like to God on the inside. But God does give fruit upon the diligent labors of a man who seeks the hearts of his children. They will be righteous, and they will be wise. Yes, Dad will have taught them the fundamentals of the Scriptures. They will know God's Word. They will know the great truths of Scripture because Father labored hard with Mother to teach them. That's not what makes believing parents glad. You see, a young person can walk about cocky in his knowledge of what the church teaches and what the Bible teaches, but can still be a fool. A mere knowledge of God's Word is not enough. The child must grow up to be wise. Wisdom is the key. A father must teach his children to be wise, and wisdom is different than mere knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to apply that knowledge of God's Word to the various circumstances of life. A person is wise when he can take what he has learned and make right judgments, solve spiritual problems in a godly way, and discern between what is God-pleasing and what is not. Fathers, Your children have not attained just because they have learned a certain body of knowledge. A child has attained when, as he grows, he begins to show spiritual discernment, when he is not questioning the ways of the Lord or of the Scriptures, but when he sees the wisdom of God's Word and how specifically to apply that Word in all situations. A wise child is one who has been trained properly to decipher the path of Jehovah from the path of the wicked world, and then with understanding, walk in the way of the Lord. Such is the goal of our instruction and the fruit of an upright father's prime desire to win the heart of his children. When such fruit is evident, then according to verses 24 and 25, it results in joy and gladness. We do not need to define what joy and gladness are. A righteous and wise child make for happy parents. Father and mother, Solomon writes, will be glad. Both will be. The father that begets his children and the mother that gives birth to her children together will be filled with joy of heart. What a beautiful picture of a sound, healthy, spiritual family. The father and his wife, who together have conceived and given birth to their children, dwelling in a happy home with them. Not only when they are small, but when they come to years of discretion and years of maturity, there is joy in this kind of a family. And that joy comes out in the way of rejoicing. Father and mother verbalize that joy to their children. They rejoice together with their children. They rejoice in the God of their salvation. They express to God their praise and thanksgiving for the children they were given by God's grace. My son, give me your heart. My father, it's yours. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, give unto us, as fathers in our homes and families, the necessary grace to instruct our children in the fear of thy name. May we do that in such a way that we might appeal to their hearts, the spiritual center in which thy Holy Spirit dwells, that they might grow up loving thee, fearing thy commandments, and taking their place in the church as those who know that they are saved from sin, by grace alone, in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.